Miss 5678 Dances Report Podcast.
Rocking with my DJ Reg West. Hey yo, Reg, put your lines as up.
Brooklyn, home of the greatest rappers. Yeah, big comes yeah, first, yeah, then the queen comes after.
What up, y'all? This is Miss 5678, and you are now tuning into the Dances Report Season 2. I got some incredible dancers, incredible choreographers, movers and shakers up on here this season, and I cannot wait for you guys to check them out and stay connected to them. Today I have an amazing dancer that I've watched online. I actually have not had the pleasure of meeting, and I cannot wait to meet. Plus, I just gave him my soup, you know, my soup recipe that's a mystery. So he has to stay connected to me by that bond alone. Without further ado, I have Mr. Wendell. Is that what you normally go by, or what's the name that you go by?
Well, I usually go by the name King Kayak, but my name is Wendell Bullen.
Okay, so King, say that again, King.
King Kayak.
Hey. Okay, so first of all, he's an incredible dancer that I watched with a dancer and choreographer that I actually have met through Darnell Snoopy. And her name is Janelle. Shout out to Janelle for linking us too.
Shout out to Janelle.
Yeah, man. So just how you know the power of God, like when you watch somebody dance and you've thought that their experience was training and, you know that they've had experience in a lot of classes and so forth, but to know that this dancer learned by a video game that I've been part of or blessed to be a part of, Dance Central, and then for her to further her career and further her techniques through people like King Kayak and, you know, other dancers who and choreographers that have been able to shape her, and then for her to extend her hand out and give me some of the people that's worked with her to be able to put them on this podcast, it's a blessing, and it's an honor to be on the phone with you. So what up?
Thank you. What up?
So before we get started, I do a daily mood check-in. And with this daily mood check-in, it's sort of just to sort of check yourself and sort of, you know, ask how you're doing. I know that we're formally meeting right now. A lot of the dancers that I'm connected to, which is a lot, I don't get to stop and catch them and catch up on what's going on in their life. So a lot of the times this, you know, when we've been doing the podcast, this is the time that we actually, you know, check our mood. And it's also good for mental wellness so that we can, you know, sort of regroup and sort of acknowledge what our day has started off as and, you know, and then some. So I'll give you, I'll kick it off so you can kind of get the feel for it and that you can kind of get the flow. So with the daily mood check-in, it's one thing that made you happy, one thing that made you mad, sad, bothered, or indifferent. So this morning, I woke up so exhausted, tired. So the one thing that made me happy is that even, you know, just the idea of me being able to wake up and, you know, continue my fast and praying for 40 days for about 20 people and counting if anybody needs prayer. Specific prayers, but just to be able to get that opportunity to spend the time with God and go over, you know, prayers and read and intercede in their prayers and really pray hard for them. That's one thing that made me happy, but also that, you know, I got paid today. Hey, you know, the one thing that is maybe indifferent and kind of like, you know, not feeling is this dang coronavirus and just reading the numbers and reading the, you know, watching the news. It's kind of crazy just to watch how it's expanding and people are losing their lives. So that's maybe feel indifferent about it. So about my day. But, you know, and that we deal with dancers, deal with the public. If you don't know and you're a person that's tuning in and you're not familiar with dance instructors, and we deal with open classes, so anybody can come. So somebody could just be getting over something and pass it to us. And as a dancer, we don't have health insurance, you know what I mean, where we get paid for the days that we don't work. So that's another thing that, you know, is made me feel indifferent and kind of like, you know, just reevaluating how I handle my finances so that, you know, if something does come up, can I handle it? You know, can I be out, you know, many days or whatever, you know? And I'm not gonna rebuke it in the, I don't want that on me, but, you know, but just putting that in perspective. But so King Kayak, what's one thing that made you happy today and one thing that made you mad, sad, bothered, or indifferent?
Well, the number one thing is always waking up. I'm always happy about being able to wake up and see a new day, mm-hmm. you know, to attack my goals for another time. And I'm really happy, especially about today, because I have rehearsal this afternoon for I also do music on the side.
Oh wow!
So I have a show coming up on Saturday. It's like my first time really getting to showcase my music. So that's really exciting because. I think I put in a lot of hard work into my music, and I think the people would enjoy it.
What kind of music is it?
Honestly, I like to keep myself like open, so I make all types of music. But for Saturday night, I'm gonna give them a little bit of Afro beats, reggae, dancehall, and soca.
Well, so when you decide to push this out, please send it my way so I can put it in my class because I do a dance hall soca workout.
Definitely.
So send me that. I love to feature new artists and feature artists, period, that are making their records.
Definitely. And I promise you, it's not going to sound like a dancer trying to do music.
Nah, what does that sound like? You know what I mean? I'm a dancer that sings, so what does that actually sound like? You know what I mean?
No, because you know when some dancers, they're just like, oh, you know, I'm tired of dancing, or they might, you know, maybe they're not putting in the right amount of work that as they should, and then they're just like, you know what, let me try something new.
Mm-hmm.
Like music has been my entire life, even before I became this dancer that you know today. So.
Hey, well, yeah. I'm glad to hear that because most of the dancers that know me, which is a lot of them, they don't know that I sing. So when they see something online with me singing, they're like, what? You know what I mean? They're like, it bugs them out. But they don't know that I started off singing first, so I hear you on that. I started off singing, and then I started off dancing. They equally were hand in hand, but sometimes I would take a break and just focus on the singing. And then sometimes I'd take a break on the singing and just focus on the dance. I haven't really put the two together. You know, so we you know, that's what 2020 is about. It's different, you know?
That's true.
So with the first question, it's who is, you know, King Kayak, who is Wendell? Like who are you?
So I'm a professional dancer, choreographer, actor, model. I was born and raised in Caracol, Grenada.
Hey.
So I've been living in the U.S. now for about 10 years.
Wow.
So from my upbringing, like I've never been a trained dancer until I actually moved to the U.S. But I'm all street dancer. I learned how to dance from watching a lot of Usher videos on BET because we only had a few channels on the TV. So mm-hmm. I would go after school every day and just go on BET and see what new videos I can find. And fast forward to moving to the U.S., it's funny because I didn't know that, you know, you could go to a specialized school like for dance or music or anything like that. I didn't find that out until like after I graduated high school here. But
wow.
I actually found a free program called The Door in Manhattan.
Wow.
Where they help out a lot of kids there, and they offer free dance programs, free music program and stuff like that. So I went there. I attended that for 2 full years straight for like 6 days a week, because that's after I graduated. So I didn't really, you know, I didn't have much to do.
Wow, you know? Good.
So I continued training there, and then eventually I became a teacher at that place, and then they started. The director of it, his name is Anthony Rodriguez. And he's actually one of the past dancers that toured with Madonna back in the day. He was one of the flamenco dancers. But he's also well-rounded in a lot of different styles as well. So he mentored me throughout that program, and the rest is history. I've just been moving up as, you know, as time goes by. So I've remained consistent with my dance training and everything. And now I'm kind of, I mean, I suck at talking about myself, but...
No worry, we all do, because we all don't know how to say stuff about ourselves. We like, wait a minute. We're so used to bigging up so many other people that we don't realize, you know, we are an artist ourselves. So this is part of the reason why I do this, this dancer's report and this podcast, because I want to put us dancers on a pedestal. I mean, not in a facetious way or narcissistic way, but, you know, we shape the stage for some of these artists who are out here and doing well. We set the tone. A dancer and a DJ set the tone for the stage. So I wanted to really pay homage to our dance scene and show off our dancers, you know, sort of how Missy Elliott did during her speech, her acceptance speech. You know what I mean? This is what this podcast is for. So I feel you. It's kind of hard, but guess what? We want to uplift you and all the rest of our dancers. So that's why I'm doing it, for sure.
You know, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I mean, I've trained there for a while. I trained at Broadway Dance Center through a scholarship that I received from one of my other mentors, Seth Stewart. I trained at BDC, and from training at BDC, I also went to Perry Dance and trained a little bit more. And over the years, I've kind of been discovering, like, well, who I was with my dancing. And what was it, last year or the year before, I kind of had a little breakthrough, and I got a chance to work with Janet Jackson for the Made for Now music video
when she dropped it.
I've worked with Jamaica Craft. She choreographed for Neo, and we did a few shows with him for Good Morning America and Jimmy Kimmel. I've done the Jimmy Fallon show also, like with her and two other artists. I've also been in an episode of A Step of High Water on YouTube.
Oh wow! So you know Marvelous.
Yeah, that's my boy.
Yeah. So he was one of my beginning episodes of the podcast.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, listen, I'm trying to get as many of us on here just so that people can be resourceful and, like, you know, if they go to New York or wherever you're at, they can train with you or they can take your class and they can be connected to you and know, you know, all right, this is the style that I want. And I, you know what I mean? Just to have the exposure too, you know? But, so now the other questions that I have for you is, what is your cultural background and your dance background, which you kind of touched base on? You're from Grenada. Those of you, that's the Caribbean. That's where Amanda Seals is from. Hello.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And, you know, do you guys have a specialty in jab?
Pardon me?
I feel like jab comes a lot from Grenada, it's from, too.
Grenada has the biggest jab culture.
Okay. So tell people what jab is, because when I do it in class, it's different. We ain't drunk. You know what I'm saying? We ain't drunk in class. When we do it in class, we do the most watered-down version of jab. It's crazy. And you would probably laugh at it because it's not as wild and bugged out. But sometimes there's a rhythm in there that's so dope. And these are learners. These are people who are just beginning. It might be their first day of dance hall and soca workout. So when I do it in a light way. But explain to the people what jab is.
So... what jab is, so in the Caribbean, you know, there was also slavery in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
So when the slaves were freed from their masters, there was a big celebration. But as part of the celebration, they wanted to mock and kind of make fun of their slave masters, because, you know, now we're free, we don't have to follow anything. So they would dress up in costumes like the slave master. So you would have men dressing up as the slave master's wife or whatever reason. They would have body paint, they have oil, and just it's just a celebration, you know, of freedom and liberation. So they, you know, it's just a huge party in the street.
Yeah, you know? And when I tell you crazy, crazy, go crazy, crazy.
Good crazy.
Yeah, but you hear when you hear the song, you go crazy, 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 crazy. Yo, I mean, you know, so it could get wild, yo. If you're not ready for jab, you listen, it could get wild. You hear me?
Yeah.
What's been your biggest influence?
My biggest influence, as far as with my dancing?
Yes.
Honestly, I think, so it's, sometimes people ask me, okay, who's your favorite choreographer, who's your favorite this? And I honestly don't have a favorite. I just appreciate the fact that I get a chance to dance and live my dream. So I try my best to appreciate everything that everybody has to offer,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that everybody has something to teach, and I consider myself, you know, a student forever. So I try to learn and appreciate everything and everybody.
Well, in terms of impact, what's been a great impact on you in the last 2 years? You know, because I know that when Marvelous was describing, you know, working on Step Up, you know, he was talking about it when, you know, Debbie Allen stepped on the scene, and he was like, yo, you know what I mean? To be able to work with her, you know, so what's been one of the you know, impact, even, you know, starting your music and working on music, was there anybody who gave you a great influence or impact?
I think it's my friend. He's also another dancer, but he does music too.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Blacka the Dancer.
Why do I know that name?
He's known worldwide for teaching dancehall all over. And
does he have a song called Not Wet?
Bubble Up.
Bubble It. Yes.
Bubble Up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have that on my roster too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, you're in LA, right? So he's always in LA.
No, I'm in New York.
Oh, in New York?
Mm-hmm. Boston. Boston. I'm in East Coast. Because you're hold up. If you're in New York, why you meet me at a coffee shop? No, I'm in Boston. I'm in the East Coast. Because people were asking me the other day, like, where are you? I'm like, in the East Coast. I'm in Boston. You know? Wow. Okay, well, if he's out there, man, does he rock with Jason Facey and them?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think I've been trying to get him on here, too. So, yeah, extend that out and let them know I need all my dance hall people on here. So, I need all my dancers on here that do the dance hall and do the, bust the dance, you know? What would you say is your specialty or technique?
So, for me, I tell everybody this, because on social media, people see me post a lot of, like, Afrobeats and dancehall, but I'm a well-rounded dancer. I specialize in hip-hop. I'm a b-boy. I can do choreography. I can learn choreography easily. Dancehall, of course, you know, because that's from the Caribbean. So we grew up listening to dancehall and dancehall. But, like, now I train in it more. And so I say hip-hop and dancehall.
Okay, awesome. See, yeah. I wouldn't have. I know that that's like, okay, so my mom is from Antigua. So our main source of music was calypso, reggae. Dancehall was out, but it wasn't like the way that you hear it now. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't pronounced the way that it is, you know what I mean? It was like reggae, you know, ska music and calypso. And right. With calypso, it's, you know, it's sort of been sort of replaced by soca, if you will. In a sense. And so for me, it was just like, you know, that thing you got in your back pocket, you already know you have it. That was exactly. that type of dance for me. So everything else, I was like, you know, I could do hip hop, I could do, you know, street jazz and Vogue and all those things, but not formally trained in any of them. But I could just do them. If you had a choreography, you had something you want me to do, or you needed me to put it together and put it out, I could do it. But, you know, the last maybe 5 years or so, 6 years, 7 years, I've been doing dance hall. And it's crazy because I wouldn't have... That wasn't my go-to, you know what I mean? It took like two dancers to be like, yo, you need to really start focusing on dancehall and soca, because that's your movement. That's just something that comes natural. And I'm like, you know, when you know how to do it, you're like, oh yeah, all right. You know, but I wasn't really focused on it the way that I am now, you know? And even then, I have not been in a position where I've had to do dance hall choreography, you know what I mean? Which I would love to. Because what I do is, when I'm teaching dance hall and soca, I'm teaching it from a person who doesn't even know what that culture is. So I'm just, I'm the introductory to what Caribbean culture looks like, carnival looks like. So if you want to know what dance hall is, I'm going to show you like the basic movement. If you want to know what, you know, soca is, I'm going to show you the basic movement. You know, if you want to like focus on waistline and bucket and those things, I do like the most minimal and most introductory to that, so that when people are like among carnival, they understand the culture and they're not misappropriating it in a way where like, oh, they, you know, they'll listen to a dance hall. Oh, this is soca. No, it ain't. You know what I mean? Right. So I hold on now. You know what I mean? Like, I try to explain the differences between the music and the movement. And then by the time they take your class, or they take your Darnell Snoopy class, or they take, you know, anybody else that's around the city or in New York, they'll take their class, they understand what they're taking versus just walking in and being like, yeah, I can keep up. No, you have That's to really true. Know what's what. So when you say dance hall, I mean, it's embedded in your blood. You know what I mean? It's your lineage, you know? So I feel you on the technique on that. What's your favorite part about the business? Is it the money? Is it the tour? Is it the shows? Is it the rehearsals? The creative process? Like, what's your favorite part? The traveling?
I say for me, the creative process and the traveling. Because, like, for me, like, now I choreograph a whole lot more and teach a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. But I never really set out to say, like, hey, I want to be a choreographer, you know? Because for me, like, I'm from the Caribbean. I don't really know much about, like for me, I grew up not really... having so much access to the internet to be watching a whole bunch of dancers and choreographers say like, hey, this is my favorite choreographer, whatever, I want to be like just like this person. I would just, you know, like when I started taking the classes, I just wanted to just learn different dances, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was training in everything. So now that I get a chance to create and like I get a chance to put what I feel, you know, on different bodies, and you know, just it's an amazing feeling. And just being around other creatives and learning how they create, like learning their process, how they, you know, how they listen to the music, how they would choreograph certain things, like it's an amazing process. I always love that. And of course the traveling, I came from Russia like 2 weeks ago because I was teaching a dancehall workshop. But just me teaching now and being able to travel and teach, it's been amazing. Because also, like, coming from the Caribbean, like, I never thought that I would be able to see the world by being myself, being and doing what I love, you know, being a dancer. So even that, like, it's so rewarding, and I would never trade that for anything.
You know, the crazy thing is you're speaking from a humble perspective, and from a, like, listen, I don't know, you know, every dancer in the world, so I can't emulate every dancer in the world. That's dope. Like, you know what I mean? You're talking from experience of like, I just have a love for this, and this is what I wanted to do, which is where some dancers need to start back from. Like, you know what I mean? Start back at, you know what I mean? Because sometimes we get, including myself, we get saturated in what we're doing, and we forget to remember you know, that love and not having that accessibility to all these different, you know, outlets, going back to the drawing board and being like, yo, I really have gratitude and humility from where I started, you know? So it's good to hear you talk about that in reference, you know? What's your favorite part about the music? Is it the classics or is it the current?
So the thing is, right? As far as the classics, I'm actually learning to love the classics now because a lot of, because I'm in the Caribbean, a lot of classics for us would be, like, you know how we would get, like, certain information, like, later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, what's a classic for somebody here? I might be like, I've never really listened to that, you know?
Yeah.
Because, and especially if I'm around, like, young people and then Caribbean people especially, like, they're not as big on, like, depending on the household, they're not as big on, like, music and stuff. You hear the music playing, so it'll be familiar to you, but you wouldn't really get a chance to dig deeper into it.
Yeah.
So now that I'm older, like, I appreciate the classics more, but mm-hmm. I still love the current stuff.
Now, you know, in terms of what genre, because this is like, you know, Caribbean people, when we talk about, you know, Alton Ellis, hold on now. I don't know why I'm still in love with you, boy. Like, now, listen, that's classic. Like, Barris or Sizzler, or, you know what I mean? Dry Cry, all of that stuff. Yeah, man. Like, those are classics to me because we're not making these music. We're not making these records no more. Like, those records are not around. Like, so when these kids hear it, like, my daughter, she knows it. Because I play it saturated in this house and among us. So she gets to hear all of it. But, you know, even down to certain, you know, certain R&B records, I hear her, like, now wanting to listen to SWV because Chris Brown remixed it or you know what I mean? Certain songs, you know, that have come out, you know, in the 90s. That she's like, you know, because another artist sampled it, now she wants to hear the original, you know. But I suppose it's important for us to be exposed to everything and where certain songs come from, because I'll tell you this, I don't know, do you feel like a lot of the Caribbean artists now are still doing dubs? Because I don't feel like they're doing dubs anymore.
Nah, they're not doing dubs.
You remember that? Like, they would do a dub plate, like, and everybody had that, like, nah, they're not doing it anymore. It's weird. Like, it's transitioning into a different vibe, but, like, I don't know. I feel like I don't hear it as much.
Yeah, it's not as popular these days.
Right. What's your favorite place that you've traveled to for dance?
My favorite place. Over the summer I was on tour with this artist. His name is Faruko.
What's his name?
Reggaeton artist.
What's his name?
Faruko.
Okay.
So he's a reggaeton artist, and a lot of our shows were in Spain. So ooh. I got to visit this island in Spain called Mallorca.
Okay.
And it was dope. I had a great time, you know. Just being in a different part of the world. And for me, like, my Spanish isn't fluent, but I took a lot of Spanish classes when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still able to communicate with the people enough.
That's me. I chose to take Spanish when I got out of middle school, because in middle school in Texas, that's where I lived. I lived in Texas for 5 years. And you have to take Spanish. You know what I mean? You got to take it 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. You know what I mean? And when I left...
Yeah.
And went to, my dad got stationed in the military. Well, he was already in the military, but he got stationed in Germany. I decided to take Spanish and extend it out into my senior year because, you know, I could learn German because I had already lived there. You know what I mean? I was living there. So I was going to have that experience. But I chose to take Spanish. But speaking of Spain, like spring break, what? Oh, man. We went to Spain. For spring break, my first year in Germany, oh, man. Like,
that must have been crazy.
Yo, listen, I don't need, there's some things I can't even repeat on this podcast, yo. Like I would get in trouble. Like I'm like old, you know. Like my parents are like, I'm a grown woman and still feel like scared to say anything. Like, you know, your mother's from the Caribbean, so when you tell them, well, I thought you told me you would do this, and you're like, now you're caught. You know what I'm saying? So right. Nah, hell no, I ain't bringing up nothing. I will say that it was an amazing, amazing spring break, I will say. And if my dad ever found out that we never went to Barcelona, and he would have a fit, you know what I mean? But he's probably listened to a few episodes and has caught me already, but hasn't said anything. But, you know. But, yeah, Spain was dope, man. I would love to go back to Spain. That's on my bucket list, by the way. To go back.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really amazing.
What's been some of your struggles in dance? Is it been some of the money, relationships, the location, the artists and crews, or just, you know, what's been some of your struggles in dance?
Some of my struggles in dance, I mean, the number one struggle is always getting paid what you're worth.
Right. And,
you know, standing your ground on that. Because based on, you know, on how outspoken you are about, you know, what you deserve, sometimes it can give you a bad rep with certain people.
Right.
But just that, and just the, like, I understand that, you know, to book certain jobs or to book consistently, like, it's all who you know. It's not even on skill. It's just who you know.
Mm-hmm.
That also, and I feel like sometimes people tend to box you in into the corner that you feel like you should be in.
Say it again.
I feel like sometimes people tend to box you in a specific category or dance style, mm-hmm. that they feel like you should be in, and don't always look past it and just don't want to give you an opportunity because they feel like you work hard, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I mean, I'll say this, you know, my days of working in New York and bringing dancers from Boston to New York, to work with some of these, because my first reggaeton artist was Noriega, you know what I mean? So
nice.
It was tough. He was amazing to work with, and he got mad energy. He crazy, but, you know, shout out to the whole N.O., Murder Unit Squad, all of them, you know, I don't want to bring them up too much, but you know, N.O. But I would say this, you're right. It was hard to ask dancers who are now considered professional and also working in bigger projects and tours and stuff to do certain things for free at that time, or to do them for less than what we would, you know, charge now. Like,
right.
I don't know. I've learned to be like, to say no. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not interested. Or I've learned to ask the questions about budget before we talk about the project. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Or if we talk about the project, we include that budget first, because I know what it's going to take for me to, you know, the whole process. I mean, this is what we don't consider. And this is for people who are clients that may be listening, that need to pay attention to this part. Us dancers, when we're working, to speak about the project that you want to do, it costs. So exactly. To consult, it costs. So, and then the travel time it takes to go to and from a rehearsal, a sound check, a choreography session for the project in the beginning stages of it, that cost as well. And to actually create that cost, to perform that costs, to hire dancers, to now bring this creativity to life, it costs. So all of those things need to be considered when we're being included and inserted in an artist's project or a production or a commercial or any gig that you want to have a dancer for. All of those things cost. Just like if you want to rent the space that you're going to be shooting your video or your event or hosting your event, it costs money to have it. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. And I think what we miss and we don't do is we don't think about our worth first. We think about, our eyes get big on who the project is about and for and da da da. And I stopped doing that long ago, because when I have my daughter, if I'm getting paid $100 and I'm busting myself going to on a bus to New York and this, that, and the third, and my license about to go out, and you don't care or you don't know, like, I'm not doing that. I learned to build in my expenses, my bills, and my time, and then my worth. You know what I mean? Like, so I think if any dancers listening and you're aspiring and you're starting out, or you just have not figured out how to charge your worth or to even figure out pricing, this is a good way to listen, you know, because those things count, you know. And if you need off air some guidance on billing people, I got you on that too, you know.
And then even sometimes too, like, because I've, like, a lot of the dancers as well, they don't realize how they can be the ones responsible for, like, what they're sometimes too. Because even, like I know sometimes a lot of dancers, they, because they get a certain opportunity, yes, they're excited and stuff, but then, like, for the dancers that like to downplay somebody else to make themselves look bigger or whatever it is,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, that makes no sense. You know, there's work out here for everybody. You know?
I mean, listen, I have been able to... I've been able to, and I may not have worked for the best artist in the world, you know what I mean? Or the number one artist in the world, but I've been able to experience what that lifestyle is like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So from a scale of, like, you know, providing, you know, production, creativity, and creative direction for organizations that, you know, look at us like, oh, this is just a prop. I've been able to knock that down and being like, no. You know, it's gonna, if you got a budget of $2,000 and you want 10 dancers, that ain't a lot of money for me. You know what I mean? That means you're telling me that only $1,000 of my time is, you know, really what you're gonna be paying for. And that doesn't help me. And half of the time, the dancers I work with, they come in, they teach in about 4 different places, they part of different productions, they part of other classes, and, you know, they got crews that they're down with. So they don't have a lot of time. So when you take them, you say, hey, I need to take you off your schedule for a second to do this event or project, they got to weigh whether or not is it worth it. You know what I mean? And so a lot of the times I have had to think about that, because I was, you know, it took for me to working on Dance Central and working with, you know, Viacom and MTV, and which was Viacom and Microsoft and, you know, Harmonix and those companies, to see how they actually run and work as creatives, as artists, how they actually function. Because, you know, Microsoft, they're a conglomerate, so they have expendable money. You know what I mean? Like, they make a salary that, you know, some of us won't ever see, you know, as a dancer. Depending on who you dance for, you know? But, you know, like, you know, we don't think about that when we're starting out. We don't think about that when we have bills due. We sometimes take what's there, and we shouldn't do that.
That's
Which
true.
Is why it's very important to have someone in your corner, your circle, or that holds you accountable or can help you with budgeting your finances in dance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I talk about this, I've talked about this on the podcast before. If it was not for Angela of Sweat Remix, I would, and Jess of Box and Behave, aka Jess Legerio, who's an artist, a visual artist, a boxer, if it wasn't for those two young ladies, I wouldn't have moved when I needed to make certain moves as a dancer or instructor and choreographer to do it solely by itself, to stand on its own 2 feet. I wouldn't have made that move had they not, you know, come into my life and say, hey, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but you need to jump out on a leap of faith. And I took that time to really line up every class, every project, every artist I was working with, to in order from in every project and, you know, anything I had income for dance on, what it would take for me to be able to maintain my bills, still live a lifestyle, and all those things. It took a while to try to figure those things out. But before that, I wouldn't have done it. I would have worked in a corporate position and you know, sat on my dreams. You know what I mean? If I had not had people around me to say, to challenge me and be like, yo, no lie, you need to do this full time and not care about, you know, don't worry about what happens next, you know? And I think that that's important in terms of the money. When we talk about the money, guys, we talk about knowing your worth and charging your worth so that later on you're not like exhausted and burnt out because you only got $125 for a gig.
Right.
That you need to be paid $1,000 for. You know what I mean? So those are the differences. And I have a question, like, what do you have that's up and coming between now and, let's see, May and June?
Between now and May and June? So I don't have, for now, I don't have anything big yet, but like things just pop up, honestly.
I hear you. I'm the same way now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm considering starting like my own little, I did it before, but now I want to do it on a larger scale. I always did a class to help out my friend. So my friend Blanca has a program called the Little Dancers Program,
mm-hmm.
where we donate money to Jamaica to get kids to take free classes. And the funds also go to like towards one of the dancers in Jamaica to be able to get
paid. Hold on, your phone just tapped out. What did it say?
Oh, sorry. So the program in Jamaica, so the money goes towards the kids getting free classes, and oh, wow. also the classes get taught by the some of the street dancers in Jamaica. Because that's, you know, they really love dancing, and some of them love teaching as well. So they get a chance to make a little bit of money teaching the kids. The kids get the classes for free. So I'm working on just doing my own program where I teach kids. Because I love teaching kids. I did it a lot before. So just have it into a specific program, and then part of the program would help out the little dancer program as well. So I'm planning it out right now.
That's amazing.
As far as... That's the most I've been doing, and sometimes the work just comes up. It just shows up.
I hear you. I'm the same way, man. Like, and it happens at the time when I need it too. You know. Shout out to Harmonix. They just pushed out Audica. They have the Oculus Quest version of Audica out. And I was able to do the mixed reality shoot on it so that you can actually see me in the game playing the game. It's a beat shooting in virtual reality game with the Oculus brand. So shout out to Harmonix for that. But yeah, man, I hear you. I take it as it comes. And if I can do it, I do it, you know? What does commitment to mean to you in dance, career, life, and love?
Commitment, like honestly, commitment it means everything, because without commitment, you'll never know how good or how bad something can get. Honestly,
I agree.
Yeah, because that's the only way you really figure out if that's where you need to be or if you need to change your mind into something else.
And are you doing what you love?
Oh, definitely. I'm doing what I love. I try to do it every day. I mean, it gets harder.
Yeah.
But that's when that test comes in where, like, yo, okay, you're committed to this now. Are you still willing to go further, you know, further and further? Because we're always happy when the good time's rolling, but when it gets a little tough, we're like, okay, what am I doing?
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean you have to change what you're doing. It's just, you know, just little aspects of it, you know, little things that you can fix or improve on so that you don't have to get back into such a hard place, if it is a hard place that you fall into.
Now, what's your social media that people can stay connected to?
So my Facebook is Wendell Bullen, W-E-N-D-E-L-L-B-U-L-L-E-N. I have a artist page and a regular page. And on Instagram, you can follow me at IMKINGKAYAK. So I'm King Kayak. And also my my choreography page is WB Choreography.
Hey. And what's your message you want to leave with everyone?
My message that I want to leave with everyone.
So we have like, you know, I always say, never lose sight of your vision, dream big. You know, what's some sort of message you can leave with us? And then that way they can have like a mantra.
Try your best to not live life lost, but get lost living life.
Love it. I love it. So you guys heard it here. You heard his social handles. So stay connected to him on social media. And we look forward to finding out what you have next. If folks who want to support your contribution to Jamaica, they can stay connected through your social medias. And you guys, I encourage you to support it any way that you can. Share it, send money, whatever you can do to be a part of that process, I encourage it. And I will too as well, so into that. And so, Mr. Wendell, a.k.a. King Kayak, I am grateful. I'm thankful for you being on season 2 of our Dancers Report podcast. And this is probably going to air a little later, but I'm definitely grateful that you're on. And I'm glad that I got the opportunity to talk with you. And I hope to continue furthering this experience even beyond the podcast, man. I hope I get to stay connected to you on any other project that may be coming up, you know, or that presents itself, you know.
Definitely.
I wish you well. I will say a prayer for that cold, you know what I mean?
And thank you.
And I hope to hear from you and stay connected with you. Thank you, brother, for being on here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You got it.
Alright.
Yes. Miss 5678 Dances Report Podcast.